The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this Monday, the 22nd of August. And that's significant in that the regular season is over, and we're now moving into the playoffs on the PGA Tour, so the excitement continues, and it has been a pressure-packed and exciting season from start to finish through the majors, the condensed season with the Olympics being thrown in there, and now, of course, with the end of the Wyndham Cup Championship and a champion, Siwoo Kim, winning his first PGA Tour event, and spectacularly, by the way, shooting a 60 in the second round. I'm telling you, a 55 is in the future on the PGA Tour, the way these guys are going so low. So he wins his first event on the PGA Tour, and of course, not only the $1 million, 500 FedEx Cup points, he certainly will be playing in the playoffs. And the cut was made, top 125, moving to the Barclays at Bethpage Black. And so we'll be talking about that coming up in just a little bit. The drama, as I said, continues with the FedEx Cup playoffs and the Barclays, the BMW Championship, all leading up to the Tour Championship, and then finishing things off a little cherry on the top, Ryder Cup this year in the United States. So still a lot of drama for pro golfers on the men's side. And the women completed the Olympics, and a phenomenal Olympic for the women and for the men as well, and I think very, very successful. Everybody was very happy. Inbee Park wins it for the gold medal for South Korea on the women's side, and so congratulations to her. Lydia Ko takes the silver medal. So a lot of drama and excitement for the women as well, finishing off over the weekend. So a big, big day to get started here on PGA Tour Radio. And joining us, as they did at the end of last week, are two partners in crime at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney, who were there for the LPGA Legends Championship, and are sticking around apparently for a couple extra weeks after the tournament's over. You guys are never leaving, are you?
They pulled my passport.
Yeah. Pulled me off the
I was on a plane sitting next to this guy.
Here we go.
Oh, God. Put your
hands
up.
He's wearing a Speedo. He had a Speedo on. He said, you get out of here. So, yeah, I'm stuck here for a while. But it's a great place to be stuck.
It's a great place to be stuck. We're in the French Lick Resort Hotel, not the West Baden Springs Hotel this year. And the French Lick Resort Hotel, we're sitting in the lobby set up, and this place is ornate. It is gorgeous. It's marble and gold leaf and chandeliers, and
it's one of the largest collections of gold leaf ever in the United States.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. The place is beautiful. Anyway, it's good to be here, but guess what? We have a special guest with us. Legendary sports writer from the Chicago Sun-Times for 41 years as a beat writer, and now with the Herald, I believe, and also independent writing and doing a lot of work for Global Golf Post and for everybody. I mean, for Golf Wire, Golf Week, everything. Len's all over the place.
Anybody who wants me, I'm there for the hire.
Mr. Len Zane. Welcome in, Len.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We had an exciting week here. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were there, all standing together, Brendan, Len, myself, our wives. Brendan's wife is back home, but not here, but Len's wife and my wife, and watching a six-hole playoff. They went six extra holes.
You know what's tougher than a five-hole playoff?
A six-hole playoff.
Good Lord. It was exciting, though.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
I mean, who won?
Go. From England. Trish Johnson beat Julie Inkster. Julie Inkster was what? She was down by four.
Down by four with eight to play, and came back and got that. Actually, that tournament could have ended in regulation with Trish. Trish had to knock in a tough par putt on that last hole to force the playoff. Inkster was already in the house.
Yeah, the 18th hole is a par 5 dogleg left, about 520. And then at the 6th hole, they finally moved it up another tee box, so it played a little bit shorter. Yeah, it was exciting. I mean, there's actually a great crowd out there, great beneficiary. We raised about $200,000, more than that.
Yeah, more than that.
For the Riley's Hospital for Children. And the weather was beautiful. And, I mean, we're talking about the challenges of golf, but the quality of golf. Tell us, what do you think about the ladies?
It was really good. You think about 5 under par was the regulation score that Trish and and Julie Inkster.
Colin Montgomery was 400 par when he won his.
That's, there's a message there somewhere. I mean, Sherry Steinhauer's 63, I think, is still the course record.
And then she followed that back up with a 78.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, there was a Gene Bartholomew this week, I think, went 79-65.
Yeah.
79-65, yeah. The one thing that was funny yesterday in the playoff is that this is somewhat disappointing. They played all those holes on a par 5 hole. No birdies. It was all pars. Trisha... she said that in her previous Legends, coupled with this one, she's played that hole 20 times.
She played it 7 times yesterday.
7 times, yeah. and never made a birdie on it. They were all pars. All pars. That's
a tough hole.
It's a tough hole.
It is a tough hole.
It's a tough
hole. With that chasm that you come across.
You don't see a par 5 hole that goes without offering a birdie somewhere along the line here for a player that's
that stature. Green's not the most friendly green. As you come to it, it is huge. And if you miss your mark, you've got about a week coming back. And that collection area on the back of that green, when that pin was forward this year, but usually it's been back.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's back, everybody ends up in that collection area. And now you're short-sighted trying to come up the hill. It's a tough hole.
I wish you could see everybody when they're there could see the shot when the players who try to go over the Valley of Sin there and can't end up.
The
can't
chasm.
Get up there. I mean, that's a chasm.
It is.
That's a chasm.
I've been down there a lot.
I've been there. It's painful to walk up that hill. But
golf carts don't like it either.
No, they don't. They don't.
You can't get them back up. You have to go backwards to get out of there.
It's a neat finishing hole, not necessarily for the spectators, but for the players. I think it's a great
At the PGA, Senior PGA Championship presented by KitchenAid, they turned...
Deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest.
There you go. They turned the course around. So 18 actually was number 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't really like.
I didn't like that either. Yeah.
Well, there's a simple reason for that. On top of the crest of the hill there, that's where the corporate hospitality went. Mm-hmm. So where the corporate hospitality tent was, you could see 14 holes.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
So, yeah.
You know, that's exactly what they're doing at Hazeltine this year. They're flipping 2 holes on each 9. So the course that they played in the PGA Championships in 2002 and 2009, it's not the same rotation. Simply to get a better viewing opportunity for the corporate chalets. So
turned it around.
Turned it around.
Hey, Tim. You know,
yes?
You guys. We were talking before
welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Appreciate it.
We were talking before the show, all of us, and you and Lynn and Lynn's significant other, Joy, are all from the same area, right?
It's same area
from,
for sure.
And, from and Libertyville.
I'm from the same town. Yeah, same town as his wife, and Len's from probably 20 miles
Palatine.
Away.
Palatine. Yeah, right. Palatine. Right
it's there. So, I'm surrounded by Yankees.
Maybe we're trying to send you a message.
I'm going back to Mississippi. I'm heading back to Ole Miss.
Hey, Brendan, did you have good crowds for people turning out?
Yeah.
I know it's you're
Saturday. Yeah, all the volunteers, probably about 225 volunteers. And what a great, you guys know French Lick is a small little borough in southern Indiana. There's 1,500 people, 1,500 people work at the resort, 2,500 people work in the town. And we have a lot of these events. And the volunteer base, Larry Kidwell is our director of volunteers, and he's doing a great job. And it's great. I mean, the volunteers all love it. And it's tough, getting people and keeping them captivated in the audience. But they dig it. It was fun. They're part of the fabric of the LPGA Legends Championship that we've had here. So, Jane Blaylock, her crew did great. Everybody's sort of shuffling out of town today. We had a little rap party last night across the street at a bar called Legends. I showed up about 9:30. And the people were there. What time did we get out here? 7:30 was the wrap
of the tournament. Yeah, that was a late one. I mean, that was a scramble to get all the copy written and to unwind. Unwind was a challenge last
speaking
night.
Speaking of writing copy, where can people go to find you, Lindsay?
Well, I know that I've got in the Daily Herald, of course, at home.
Sure.
This last round, I think, got spread around pretty well because I noticed there's a piece in USA Today and
we were on Golf Channel this morning.
Golf Channel this morning, yeah. So it's getting good. We're getting more and more exposure for this tournament, I think, around the country. It's been sporadic at times, but I think that maybe the last 2 days were the best we've done Brendan would know better than me, but I think that probably the last 2 days have been the best we've done in the last 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, and it's great, especially with the Olympics. We could tag on the back of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the USGA having their Senior Women's Open coming up next year.
Right.
Maybe the LPGA will take a chance and have a senior LPGA championship.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You've been writing for how long? Golf writer for how long?
Well, I was a golf writer at the Chicago Sun-Times for 41 years, and then I took retirement in June of 2010, right after the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And I'm a bad retiree because I've taken on a lot of freelance stuff in golf. When I was at the Sun-Times, I did a lot of hockey and soccer and a bunch of other things.
So with all that kind of experience and reference that you have, everybody always
just
probably
being old.
But I'm curious. So. Your favorite golfers? Who's the greatest of all time? Who did you enjoy covering the most? And what do you think about today's young guys? I mean, we're talking about Siwoo Kim, 21 years old, another young guy, winning for the first time on tour.
Boy, I tell you, that pops right at you. We were at the John Deere Classic when Spieth won he was 19, I think, when
19,
he won the
yeah.
first time out
right.
there. You know, you can't help but like him. I really like the way things are going right now with the young group that's taken over, the Fowler, Spieth, McIlroy, Day. I mean, that's a good foursome. It's almost somewhat similar to the days back when it was Palmer, Player, you know, Nicklaus thing. But it was a long time. What's really changed, I remember one of my first PGA Tour stop as a writer was a Western Open at Olympia Fields in, I think, 1968. And the interviewing there was just there was many reporters, and we'd sit around a little round table in the bar up there, and the player would come over there, smoke a cigarette, and drink a beer, and we'd chew the fat. It's not quite the same way anymore. Those were the days, my friend.
It's funny you said that, because I played yesterday here in Dallas at Northwood Country Club. Northwood hosted I believe it was the 54, 57 U.S. Open, and they have a bunch of pictures on the wall, but one of them is Ben Hogan sitting around a bunch of sports writers in the locker room with a cigarette in his mouth. They all had cigarettes in their mouth.
Yeah,
and talking about his round after the second round or whatever. And that's the way it used to be. And now, Frank, you got to chase him down. You got to go through three agents.
Oh,
a couple of security people.
PGA Tour media officials.
Yeah.
Somebody hand me a pack of Chesterfields.
It is. It's very formal. And it's very, very polished these
days.
How it happens.
Right,
step and repeat and quick interviews and wow.
But talking to Len, you know, I grew up in Medina. And then I had the opportunity to caddy at the 1983 Western Open at Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Where Watson won it.
Right.
That was
right.
pretty cool.
That was good.
That was a great tour stop forever and ever and ever. And then I guess the membership didn't want to allow certain people to join the club.
Yeah, you
said,
know.
See you later, Western Open.
That had a perfect location Chicago-wise. Because it was so centrally located and close to the city and all that. I remember the first tournament they held there was they went there a year too soon. And the course wasn't ready for it, and balls were getting lost all over the place, and people were complaining about it. But it stayed on as the site there for until 1991, and then it went to Cog Hill. Or 1990.
So you remember Jim Thorpe wins in second place.
Scott Verplank.
Scott Verplank as an amateur.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good one. I don't know when the last time an amateur has won. I think he followed Mikkelsen, didn't he?
Mikkelsen first, and then Verplank. But I don't know.
Verplank was like 85.
Yeah, 85.
So Verplank first, and then Phil was after that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So and what's the tournament that Phil won as an amateur?
Must have been Phoenix.
Phoenix?
No, right? It wasn't. It was the Tucson Conquistador Classic.
Oh.
Remember the helmet?
He got the helmet in the head.
Yeah, we were just out there this year. We were on site for the – it's on the
–
not the
tour.
Senior tour, but the champion, PGA Tour champions, yeah.
Yeah.
Miss Noreen Deckard is walking through the lobby right now.
It is. A golfer. There it is. Hey, everybody's waving.
Miss Noreen. That's my assistant.
Oh, that's your assistant. That's Noreen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's the best.
I can't see. It's early.
He never tired.
We're talking with Len Ziem, who's a sports writer, been with the sports departments at the Chicago Sun-Times. Daily Herald now, you're saying? And
Daily Herald now. I did some columns for the Chicagoland Golf and the Chicago District Golfer. And but you know, anything that's golf-related now. I don't want to do any other sport.
I got a quick question for you.
Just, well, hang on. Okay, go ahead.
In the basement of the Chicago Sun-Times, Lower Wacker Drive, Billy Goat Tavern.
Billy Goat Tavern. Yeah, it's still there. The Sun-Times building isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's a Trump building.
Lower Wacker Drive. I mean, but that was made famous.
And the significance, Brendan, of the Billy Goat?
No cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
Chips. No chips. Pepsi. Yeah. Saturday Night Live.
Is that
even
really?
More,
is that
even
true?
More to, oh, sure.
I didn't know that.
A real place.
I did not know that.
And even, but even more to that, Brendan, the significance being the curse, right?
Oh, yeah, going back to the Chicago Cubs. Why don't you tell me
that?
Yeah,
the Chicago Cubs. Well, that's why they lost the Billy Goat got in the way of them winning the World Series of 45.
45?
I still don't quite identify with that one, but.
can you imagine standing behind this Greek guy in a turnstile here? Well, what is that? Like, yeah. I had a bad Euro this morning. He whips a goat on that thing. But in 1945, the significance of the French Lick Resort is they had their spring training here in 1945 as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All roads go through French Lick.
There's all that history, though, Frank, but they wouldn't let the Billy Goat in the tavern, and so the Greek owner, you know, Mr. Sophonopoulos was.
Sienas, okay. Yeah.
George, his name is George Sienas.
George Sienas, yeah.
He put a curse on the Cubs. Spit on them three times, did a circle, whatever, and the Cubs have never won since, so the curse
you
is still there.
Are weird. In the
I'll
world.
Tell you. Oh, believe me.
They're looking awful good right now, though.
They are looking good.
They are really playing ball.
We'll see what happens. But, Len, I'm curious, the significance of your history of golf, and you go back a long, long time,
yeah.
Greatest change, is it equipment? Is it the fitness of some of the golfers versus the guys that sat around with you in the old days smoking cigarettes and having a few beers? what do you think would be the greatest change today from where it was 40, 50 years ago?
Well, you know, I think that the equipment is of course one thing, but there's always going to be refinements. That's going to go on and on. But the players are kind of different. They're a different crowd now. I think it's not like they're bad guys, but they are more separated, more into themselves than the gang that was in the Western Opens of the '60s and the '70s and so on. It's a lot easier to get to. It was a lot easier to get to know the players back in the day, as they said. Even though the media wasn't going nearly around the country as they had been. Now it's kind of shifting back the other direction. But in my time at the Sun Times, from like the mid '80s until 2000, I probably was on the road with the tournaments. 3 months, almost three months straight, bouncing around from one event to another. Now, prior to that, you'd get to the Masters, you'd get to the U.S. Open, and your beat was be to cover the local scene. Yeah.
So
now what's funny? It's going back to the same way again. The media contingents at the Pro Tour stops that I've been going to, the size of the press tents are they're probably half the size of what they once were, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, except for like the Masters. Or
the Masters will still
and the
big.
Players Championship always has a huge. You know, that's huge
right.
Deal
probably
then.
Technology. Yeah. I mean, the internet, and everything. You could cover events without actually having to be at events, and it seems like you're
absolutely.
Right there.
I don't know whether that's good or bad, but that's true.
Well, that's sort of like what we did here, Tim. Mm-hmm. Is I have. You know, the last few years had a video crew, have Len write and copy, and then we distribute the story across the United States about the LPGA legends. Because as a newscaster, like Fred Coghill from Coghill was here from Louisville yesterday, and this guy's, you know, 30-year veteran. He's carrying his own camera. Back in the day, you'd have a PA, a sound guy, and everything else. But just people are cutting their budgets. So we supply the story, and that's one of the great things about having Len on our team is he writes great copy. Has the connections, and then, you know, I'm looking at our media report right now. You know, we're Fox News, Boston, Santa Cruz, Sentinel. So our story from the LPGA Legends gets out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the significance of having someone with the talents of Len and the talents of myself, I should say.
Absolutely.
Oh, please.
And the digital world we're in. So
yeah,
I'm curious, when you're mentioning that and you're saying about the difference in the players and the – camaraderie difference between 30 and 40 years ago. Can you correlate that to the struggles that the U.S. has had in Ryder Cup? Is that tangible?
That's been thrown out there. I think that's kind of a stretch myself. I know that there's some belief that that's the case. I think it'll change this year at Hazeltine, but I think the Europeans have just they play a lot. One thing that I think is kind of forgotten in that scenario is that I think in Europe they play so much match play and just growing up it's more of a much more of a game of match play there than there's more of it than there is here. I mean, I can't remember doing too much in the way of, I mean, maybe some best ball things like that, but I think that might I kind of thought that might kind of play into the scenario, but I think that Europe has just been, they've just flat out been better for a good 10, since 99, really. They've just been dominating. I think that's going to change, though, this year. I don't think their team's as good.
Did you see this morning that Matthew Fitzpatrick from England was named to the team? Oddly enough, Matthew Fitzpatrick had a scholarship to play golf at Northwestern.
Yeah.
And left and went back and played the European Tour.
Played 1 year. You know, he played a half week. A year. Yeah.
Until the grades came out.
Yeah.
So it's almost like playing basketball at Kentucky.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's
a great time. He was getting all these.
I declare my.
These options, invitations to play as a U.S. amateur champion. And, I can see why he left school early there like that. I mean, it's worked out for him.
Well, you just got done covering the Western Am, didn't you?
I did.
So Nick Hardy, or no, I'm sorry, Dylan Myers.
Dylan Myers. He made a good showing, and yeah, he beat the
Sam top, Horsfield.
Sam Horsfield. You know, there's
a significance between those two and French Lick.
I didn't know that.
Dylan played the Big Ten championships here.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And Horsfield was on the Florida team of the USGA men's state team championship that was
on. Uh-huh. Illinois has the one thing, that one guy that is really, I should bring him up from the Chicago area, is Nick Hardy, who's Dylan has really kind of overshadowed him, but only in the last month. I've never seen a tournament like our state amateur this year. Hardy went 28 under par.
Yeah, where?
28 under par at St. Charles Country Club.
Wow.
Yeah,
home of the Charles Saints, by the way.
St. Charles Saints. But that's not it. There was no dog track or anything in that. He won by 10. That was I've never seen a golf. I mean, you know, I'm going back over 40 years. I've never seen the a golfer from Chicago or anywhere.
Not like Lance Tenbrook.
Lance Tenbrook, Gary Pins.
D.A. Weibring.
Well, there you go. Lindsay, it's been a pleasure.
I've enjoyed it, guys.
It's been a pleasure being with you all week. A lot of fun.
I'll look forward to the next time around.
Thank you.
Ms. Joy, thank you.
Hey, thanks for your support, Len. Safe travels,
anytime.
My man.
Joy.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Very nice.
Thank you so much, Len. We appreciate it. Safe travels.
It's always great to have a walk down memory lane, isn't it, with a guy
who's been doing it
for a long, long time, kind of give you that reference.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stories, a lot of fun
stuff. Times have changed, that's for sure. Well, it's near the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break, and Troy Van Beezen will be joining us. Troy is the official trainer on the PGA Tour and works with Jordan Spieth and many others. He's actually going to be calling us from his car because he's heading to the Barclays right now. He's heading to the airport to get to the Barclays at Bethpage Black, and he'll be working out with a lot of the top players later on this afternoon. So we'll talk with Troy Van Beezen when we continue here on Golf Talk America. So stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you from Dallas Studios. We, of course, have Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney at the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, where they just concluded late yesterday after six playoff holes, the LPGA Legends Championship in fine fashion. And we've been talking about that all morning long. And join us now to talk about what's going on the PGA Tour. We were mentioning that we're moving into the playoffs, so the drama continues. Everybody finished at the Wyndham, who played in the Wyndham Championship. Siwoo Kim wins the championship and $1 million, his first win on the PGA Tour. Luke Donald had a phenomenal round, so Luke Donald back into the picture, picks up 300 FedEx Cup points and gets second place, so a great tournament. But it also set the barrier for the top 125 that will play at the Barclays at Bethpage Black. And heading to the airport to get to the Barclays at Bethpage is Troy Van Beezen, our good friend, PGA Tour trainer. And Troy, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, Tim. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. So good. You're heading to the Barclays. You'll be working with a lot of those guys. And, of course, in Dallas, you work with Spieth and all the guys, or a lot of the guys that are based here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So let's get right to Jordan Spieth, because it seems like he's been off the radar for quite a while, as a lot of the top players have, because they didn't play in the Olympics and whatnot. How's Jordan looking physically? Is he in good shape?
Yeah, he's really good. You know, I saw him in the office on Friday, and he said this is the best he's felt over a year, physically, mentally. And so I think for the big playoff push going to the Ryder Cup, he's pretty excited.
The other players as well with Jason Day and Rory, also having not played in the Olympics, didn't play at Wyndham and have been off for a little bit. Is that, in your general thinking, is it good to be off for a little bit as they head into kind of a crucial time here? They're certainly going to move on in the playoffs regardless, but is it good to have that break? Do you think because of the congested season and so many majors kind of jammed in together, was it a good time for these guys to take a couple of weeks off?
Yeah, I really think it was. I think these guys, they can take that break. You know, when a lot of players do take a break, it takes some time to get back into, the competition and getting back into game-ready mode. But I think the caliber of these guys, they can just step in and compete pretty high level right away. So it's really exciting. You know, like you said, you got a lot of top players who's basically rested and ready to go. And I think that it was a smart decision on their end, you know, to take that time off and get ready for the playoffs.
We're talking with Troy Van Beezen, PGA Tour trainer. And when you go up there, Troy, and you're going to be at the Barclays, do people make appointments? I'm just curious how the whole thing works. Do people have to make an appointment to come in and see you? Do they just randomly come in before their tee time or a few hours before their tee time and get a warm-up? Or how does it work for you?
Yeah, well, the way I work is I work with 8 guys exclusively out there. So, and actually all 8 of my guys made the top 125. So it's going to be a really busy week for me here at Bethpage. But we all have a pretty good routine. I know when they're coming in. I know, you know, basically what the routines are. Typically today will just be kind of check-in day, getting ready. Tomorrow, practice round for sure. We'll probably do some good training either later tonight or tomorrow. And then more of the week, because it's, again, we got a 4-week push. It's just kind of core work, stability work, making sure they're moving properly, nothing too heavy. I don't want to, you know, burn them out and then have no gas in the tank out in the golf course. So this is a critical time of the year where you just got to be really smart on how you train the guys and how you treat the guys and just make sure they're ready to compete.
Troy, earlier before you came on, we were talking with a sports writer, Len Zeem, out of Chicago, and has been a sports writer for well over 40 years. And he was talking about the good old days when, after a round of golf or practice round, he'd sit around the locker room, everybody would pull out their cigarettes, smoke a little bit, talk about their round, and it wasn't nearly the dedication to physical fitness that you see today, a whole different era, although kind of a romantic era, if you think about it, back in the days.
The fuzzy Zeller workout.
Yeah, and those guys. On the PGA Tour with today's guys, these guys are really good athletes. I mean, if it wasn't for golf, a lot of these guys may not be NBA players, but they would be or very accomplished athletes in other sports as well, right?
Yeah, you know, this is my 14th year out here on the PGA Tour, and I've seen a lot of players and how players come in and how they evolved over the years. And back in the old days, I used to treat Fuzzy Zeller, D.A. Weibring, Tommy Armour, Hale Irwin, Lanny Watkins. I was with those guys. And you're exactly right. Post-round, cigarette, or Fuzzy Zeller had the vodka lime. A couple guys have a couple of beers after the round. But now it's everything structured. There's no way those guys can compete out here if they, you know, kept up that lifestyle, just because the players nowadays they're athletes. And you're exactly right. These guys could play college basketball, college baseball. You know, a couple guys could probably play football. I mean, they're big enough and they're strong enough. So, it's a totally different world now. It's you got to be in shape. And I take care of a lot of young players too, college players, junior players, who are ready to jump, make the next step into the PGA Tour. And if you don't have a workout routine, if you don't have a recovery routine, if you're not structured, you're behind the eight ball. You can't just all of a sudden get to the PGA Tour and say, okay, now I'm going to work out. That just doesn't work out anymore. And college golf has gotten better. it used to be the football trainer would train the golfers, and obviously we'd see a lot of injuries, but a lot of colleges get a lot smarter and doing more golf-specific training. And their guys are ready to go. I mean, we've all seen it. Young guys coming out first year on PGA Tour, and they get a win. Or they're in the top 30 in FedEx points right now. So it's a different world out there now.
We're talking with Troy Van Beesen, PGA Tour trainer, and works with Jordan Spieth. We were just talking on Friday. You worked with him. In his case in particular, we've talked about this, and I've talked to you about it before, about him falling into that kind of Tiger trap of gets to an age where suddenly he wants to be on the cover of Fitness magazine, right, and take his shirt off, right, and show his six-pack and all that. Is that a fight, and I don't mean this in a bad sense, but is that something you still have to make sure that he doesn't push it too far and try to lift too much weight or bench too much or do all those other things?
There is definitely an issue out there right now. It's definitely not with Jordan. He's been with him since he's 15, very smart and methodical in what he does and how he does things. There are players out there who probably train a little too much, train a little too heavy, and already at a young age are having some physical issues. But you're right. I always tell the guys, I said, we all know you can play golf till you're 55 years old and make a really good living at it. But the answer to that question is, you have to stay healthy. It is a marathon. It's not a race. And so these guys who are 20, 25 years old, they can play at a high level for 30 more years. But if you beat yourself up in the gym and then you beat yourself up on the golf course, your body just can't take it. And we've seen that with Tiger Woods. The way he swings the club and the way he trained, the body just broke down. So, yes, you can look good aesthetically in your tight, medium golf shirt and have injuries, or you can function strong and stay healthy and play golf for a long time at a high level. And so it's a battle, and I'm okay with that. I'd rather be able to pump the brakes on my guys in the workout room than trying to push them. I'd rather have that scenario, because it's some of the guys I have just, they work out, but they, I got to force them to work out, if that makes sense. So right. I'd rather have a Jordan Spieth or a Zach Johnson or, a Ricky Fowler in the gym quite a bit and able to enjoy it, and they know why they're doing it.
Well, Brendan, you have to worry about your physique often, right? Your shirts get a little too tight on you, and that'll bite you.
Every once in a while, yeah. Hey, Troy, I had a quick question for you. At your Cairo Sports, in Dallas, the biggest takeaway, in my opinion, or the next fad of Olympics, from the Olympics, is the cupping. I mean, do you guys do that? And after seeing Michael Phelps with all the
that little, was strange. What's that all about?
It's awesome. I've had it done on me a few times before, and it feels great. Yeah. It hurts a little bit at first, but I sort of like it. But I think that could be the next greatest thing out there is the cupping. And do you guys offer that?
Yeah, we've been doing it actually for almost 5 years now. So it's interesting how certain treatments and training get exposed during the Olympics. I think it was two Olympics ago where that KT tape was on the volleyball shoulders, and that became a big thing in my industry, and then the cupping. But yeah, I've been cupping guys for forever, either on the road or in the office. I actually worked with a couple of Dallas Stars hockey players yesterday before I was leaving today, and we did some cupping on them. It actually was for the first time. They saw it at the Olympics. I'm like, hey, I want to
see.
So
there you go. And it leaves like a golf ball sized bruise on your back. And it's, looks like you got him in tennis ball or something like that.
If the tissue's unhealthy, yeah, it gets really purple. It can last for, a week to 10 days, 2 weeks. So, you got to make sure that they're not going to any type of weddings or any, bathing suits. Big old leper.
It's really important to you, Brennan. It's really important if you're a hockey player. Cupping has always been important in hockey.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
You get what I'm talking about? You get what I'm talking about there? For different reasons, yeah. It's a different cup. Oh, hey, and by the
this
way,
is a family show.
And not even be confused with the Stanley Cup.
And by the way, Brendan, when you say that you've tried cupping, it doesn't count when you fall on the bar and the glasses are stuck to your cheeks from the shot glasses. That's not cupping. I don't know if you thought that was cupping, Brendan, but yeah.
Those are beer goggles. Drink till he's pretty. It always works.
Hey, Troy, as you head to the Barclays, will you be going through every phase? You'll be on the road for tournament after tournament throughout the playoffs here?
Yeah, I'll come home. I'll be home Monday in the office. Obviously, hockey's coming around the corner, so I'll see a bunch of guys Monday, and I'll fly back out. It's a late start. next week in Boston, so I'll spend a day at home, and then we get the 3-week run. So, and then we have Ryder Cup.
Are you heading up to Indianapolis for the BMW?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll go straight there from.
Well, look us up. We're going to be there.
Yeah, Golf Talk America will be there live.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get together. We'll be in the clubhouse, so
we'll be cupping each other.
Brendan will have little round circles all over his face.
Listen. If Sweeney says he wants to spoon, it's all over.
Cupping and spooning,
dead.
I've never had a saucer before, but they tell me it's great.
Okay,
all right, we're out of control now. Hey, Troy, thanks so much. Yeah. Good luck getting to the airport after this. But we appreciate your time and everything, and we will catch up with you again a little bit later on in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Troy, PJ Tour trainer.
Bye bye.
Yep. But you're right though about that, Brendan. It was such a weird thing, and I didn't understand it or know what I've heard of cupping, but I didn't know what Phelps was up to either. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that, I was kind of like, "What the heck is going on here?" I thought it was almost some kind of a tattoo or decoration kind of, because it was perfect circle, so you knew it wasn't just like a birthmark or something. And yeah, then you find out that. You know, and I don't know if it works. It doesn't work. You know, so many things.
I tell you, it
made you feel better.
No. It's sort of like you have a sherry glass, right? And they put it on your back, and they have like this flaming like cotton ball, and they heat up the glass, and you pop it up, and it's like a big suction cup, and it pulls all the bad stuff from your tissues up to the surface. It's pretty wild. And it's pretty effective.
Yeah.
I had a bad shoulder. I was going to go in for surgery. And I went to this guy, and he's like, "Hey, try this." And I went through about 5 rounds of it, up and down my back, shoulder, and whatnot. And I haven't had anything since.
When the tape came out, some of the LPGA players, Michelle Wee was wearing it. I saw the tape. I was like, "What is that all about? Where did that come from?" So this is the next level.
This has been around for a gazillion years. Like Chinese cupping,
For centuries. Yeah. So they've been doing it. Yeah, so it's just kind of caught on. It's one of those things that, and I'm not saying it's a fad, but it's one of those things that, just like the tape we're talking about, there's always something, right, that comes along and catches people because celebrities do it or top athletes do it. So cupping will be really big now after the Olympics. And then, you know, down the road, a year from now, somebody will come up with, you know, something else that lighting your hair on fire that works. And so, you know, people start doing that to feel better.
I want to get the hair dye contract for Ryan Lochte. I mean, he went from blonde to brunette just like that. Wow.
His hair turned the same color as the pools down in Rio, right? I mean, suddenly it was green. Because he didn't understand that chlorine was going to turn that dye green. He should have read a little bit further in the box of dye that was going to have green hair, not white hair.
I'll just deny everything.
Well, you know what?
Is he still sitting on his mom's couch? Mom, I need my remote control.
Yeah. Meatloaf.
Calls his grandma to go get him a meatloaf. Hey, it's been a great week. We've been here as a guest of the French Lick Resort, Brendan Sweeney's crew here. It's been incredible. This tournament, dang, Tim, you have to come next year. It's just so much fun. And to be around all the gals and all the stories they tell about the old days on the LPGA Tour and just here at this historic resort. And
on a sad note.
And I didn't get to ride the trolley again this trip.
Well, it's running now.
I'm going to ride it before I leave. Got to ride it.
Exactly. We can tie it down on the tracks. Like Dudley Do-Right.
Let's tie Pam down on the tracks and film it. She's looking at me like,
"What? Dude, you got to drive home with her today. That's a long, cold way." Hey, a couple side notes.
Yeah.
Sure. Your Ole Miss, they dropped the Dixie song.
They dropped Dixie. It's gone.
It's about time. But another sad state in Mississippi. Bully, number 20. Bully died. Known as Champ.
That's the Mississippi State.
The 11-year-old Bulldog. Yeah. Who had roamed the sidelines since 2009.
You know, it's a bulldog, and they named it Bully. Now, at the University of Georgia, they named their dog Uga, UGA.
I thought they would name her like a pie sai.
Oh, God, we're all thrills.
Holy smokes.
Tim Bayless,
hey, by the way,
this thing.
By the way, final medal count. We talked about the Olympics. It's all over. Closing ceremony. It's kind of cool. Last night, they did a pretty good job handing the torch to the people of Tokyo, Japan, for the 2020 Olympics when they come up. The United States just cleaned up, set a record. Most medals the United States has ever won, 121 total medals. China, second, only 51 back with 70 medals. Great Britain had 67. Russia with 56. Germany, 42. So the United States.
Yeah, how many would Russia have if they would have got busted?
Yeah,
well, now, there was a the Russian golfer had the low round. the Russian female golfer on the
female golfer,
on the ladies
right.
competition.
Yeah, she didn't medal.
She did have the low round. So, yeah.
But they're coming. They're
coming. She did have the low round. But I'll tell you, Ty Votaw, the team at the PGA Tour, the World Golf Federation, did a great job.
Yeah.
The Olympics the Olympics need golf. Golf belongs in the Olympics, and golf must stay in the Olympics. Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
The Olympics was fabulous.
Yeah, it's great golf. And that golf course, hoopla that went on about that golf course, that golf course won a gold medal itself.
Yeah.
That's a fabulous layout. Gil Hans, Amy Alcott did a great job.
Yeah, Amy Alcott, LPGA legend. She wasn't here because she was down there. But yeah.
She was here last year.
Yep.
Amy wants to do some radio with us. She enjoys doing that. So we'll have her on the show pretty soon to talk about the Olympics. That'd be fun.
Very cool.
Get you back on, Brendan. And if Tim will let us, it is Tim's show.
Powered by Golf Talk America.
In the heart of
it. Hey, how about your rookie last night, Dak Prescott? He looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's doing it. Was Saturday night, right? Yeah, not last night. But Dak is.
It all runs
the Cowboys the Cowboys are worried about their backup because they lost Kellen Moore, who was going to be their backup. Nobody was really excited about Kellen to begin with. Breaks his leg, and what's going to happen? And they're looking over all the free agents. And Jerry, I guess to his credit, at least as it stands today, said, well, let's just stand pat. Let's just see what's going on with the guys we drafted. They drafted Dak out of the best school in Mississippi, Mississippi State. And they decided
that's enough for this show today, folks.
They're going to go with him.
And their dog just died, too.
Their dog died.
Hey, but, you know, the powerhouse of the Eastern Illinois Panthers, you know, they have Romo and then starting on the East Coast for your New England Patriots. Garoppolo. Yeah, he's
because of the suspension. He's Brady's backup, but now he's going to start the first quarter.
Hey, but now they have a powerful guard to block for him, which is my cousin Jennifer's son, Teddy Karras. Just got drafted by the Patriots from the University of Illinois.
Karras.
Yep, K-A-R-R-A-S. He's Alex Karras' great nephew.
That's
your part of your family?
My cousin Jennifer married Teddy Karras, who played football at Northwestern. And he's the head coach at Walsh College in Akron, Ohio.
Wow. I didn't know that. Deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest, you find out all sorts of things.
You find out all kinds of stuff.
Some things we won't talk about.
Who would have thought that there would be two starting quarterbacks from Eastern Illinois in the NFL? But opening
Well, at one time, there were four NFL coaches from EIU. Mike Shanahan, Brent Childress, Sean Payton, and Mike Heimeldinger, who passed away from
I played his tournament.
Texas. Yeah, he's a great dude. Yeah. So they all went to Eastern. So and the head of the GM of the Bears went there as well. I forgot his name. A young guy, good dude.
Wow.
And I hear, a guy from French Lick Resort. It's a big Eastern Illinois guy. I've heard.
Absolutely. Any kid that had a C average at a Catholic school in Chicago wound up at a directional school in Illinois that was not Northwestern. So I'll take that one and run.
Anyone but. All right, guys, we had a great time. And we do appreciate everything at,
a lot of fun.
At French Lick Resort.
Thank you. Yeah. Sincere thank you to Frank and Pam and Tim. And we can't thank you guys enough for the support that you've given the French Lick Resort and the LPGA Legends. But most importantly, the kids at Riley benefited from this week-long event that we've had celebrating women's golf. And we raised over $200,000 this year. And the total that we've given in the last 4 years is close to $1 million to the kids at Riley's up in Indy. So that covers, 92 counties in the state of Indiana. Over 300,000 kids cross over the threshold at Riley's every year. And if anybody out there wants to donate, just you could go to Riley's or you could go to FrenchLick.com and there's a little donation page. And the kids love it. We had a great time. Had a great pizza party for them the other night. And you see these kids who really, they struggle every day just to get up and get out and do it. And they're sick. The kids are sick. But Riley's creates an environment for them where they could be normal. And if we could help with that in any way, shape, or form, we're in for the long haul. But thank you. A sincere thank you to Golf Talk America. And, Tim, thank you for all your support.
Sure.
Well, thanks, Brendan. Well,
more than happy to do it. And all great cause and a great facility. Be sure to check it out, French Lick Resort. Go online, check out the website. You'll see how beautiful the place is. And when you get a time and a chance to take a little break, go on a vacation, consider French Lick as one of the places you're going to be very, very happy that you decide to go to French Lick. And you might even run into celebrities like Brendan Sweeney walking around the resort at different times. So You can count on nightly. That.
Wearing nightly, my robe yeah. and house slippers. Yes.
he'll be the guy with the suction cup stuck to his face. You'll know what he looks like. In
I got a plunger. I got a plunger stuck to the side of my cheek. It's like, what are you doing with that?
I was trying that at home. Yeah.
Brendan's newest therapy is a plunger in the face. Why isn't this working? All right, guys.
Pop my eye out.
We appreciate it.
Knock your eye out, kid.
For Lindsay, Troy Van Beezen, Frank Bassett, Brendan Sweeney, and Bobby Raymond, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for being with us today, and please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.